stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com, for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
Hello, everybody. A little technical glitch there in the beginning. Sorry for that. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show, in our guest segment. You can see we have Wrecker, a.k.a. Doug Thornton, former combat marine, defense contractor, and also, well, he's done a lot of things, but I think the thing that a lot of people know him for now is former DHS, and had some supervisory Porter. So we're going to get a widespread view, but we're not going to deal too much here in the three-dimensional world in this discussion. I opened up what I thought would be a can of worms, but it hasn't quite generated the volatility. It's more of a, yeah, we see what you're saying, Dave. And then people would add in their sense and their perspective. And basically it was this, that if you go to Genesis 6, and let me set the stage for this here, and I want to read Genesis 6 as a starting point here. Wickedness in the world is what I would entitle this, Genesis 6. When human beings began to increase in number of the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of humans were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. The Lord's spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be numbered 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and key phrase, and also afterward, I think meaning post-flood, different DNA. When the sons of God went to the daughters of humans, and they say human, say whether making a distinction between humans and fallen angels by using the term humans, and they had children by them, and they were the heroes of old, the men of renown. Some people call it the giants. Verse 5 says, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human come on earth, and that the every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. And I'm wondering here if not the crossbreeding, shall we say, of God's creation with those he cast out of heaven and banished him to the earth did not cause this evil. That's a question I'm left with, and we'll bring that up. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. And I'll wipe them from the face of the earth, the human race I have created with them, along with the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. And in verse 8 it says, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, and thus a second beginning for humans commenced. And that's some of the what Doug and I are going to talk about. So we're really kind of leaving the geopolitical to a degree and moving more into the spiritual realm as the baseline for what we're going to look at, because the Bible is really clear. We do not deal with physical entities as much as we deal with the principalities of darkness. So, Doug, that's the intro I would put. And I would say I've kind of given you probably multiple areas that you can use as a starting point. What do you think? Do we have a threat from a second DNA on this planet that is identified in Genesis 6?
Well, this topic is a whole big can of worms.
You think?
You know, Christians in varying degrees of what they know and what they think they know and what they willfully ignore. Everyone will either agree or argue amongst themselves about this topic. And we know great men like, Tim Alberino, we got Steve Quayle, you got L.A. Marzulli, you got a lot of these guys who have been, you know, really paving the way for this type of knowledge. And I think understanding scripture helps you understand a lot of these parallels and a lot of these conspiracies, the lizard people conspiracies like David Icke and all that. But is there a hidden bloodline? Is there something potentially there that is a leftover remnant of the 200 watchers and what they did? Well, what I was reading to you a while ago, and for anyone else who wants to cross-reference us, this is what I take it. If you go to the book of Judges, starting at chapter 1, the continuing conquest of Canaan, when the Hebrews were commanded, cross the River Jordan, go and take everything and utterly wipe out everyone. Don't leave an elder. Don't leave a man, a woman, a child, or even pets or cattle or anything like that alive. Everything at some point in time had been tainted to the fact that it just had to be wiped out. And the tribe of Israel was doing it. The Hebrews, they were conquering and they were killing off everybody. And then eventually they kind of stopped doing it. Here we see at Judges 127. So failure to complete the conquest. They were told to go in and kill all the Ites, the Hittites, the Amazites, the Canaanites, right? So Judges chapter 1, verse 27 says, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean and her towns, nor did Tanakh and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Eblam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. And so you continue to go down. Ephraim didn't drive them out. Gezer didn't drive them out. Zebulun did not drive them out. Excuse me, it says, neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor the inhabitants of Nahal. But the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko. I may not be pronouncing that right, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor of Alab, nor of Achzib, nor of Helba, or Aphek, or Rehob. But the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Neither did Naphtali drive out the Beth Shemesh, nor the inhabitants of Bethanath, but dwelt among the Canaanites. So keep going. And the Amorites were forced the children of Dan into the mountains, for they would not suffer them to come down. So you got the Amorites, you've got the Canaanites. Go over to Judges chapter 2, Israel's disobedience. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars. I'm reading out of King James. You shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore, I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. So the thorns in the sides, is that the bloodlines? Is that what we're talking about? If they have these inhabitants of people among them, eventually, somewhere down the line, people start to breed. People start to mingle. So I don't know fully. For one thing, I'm not afraid to say I don't know what I don't know. This is all speculation. But it would appear that you had, not only is there a second incursion of the giants here, but you had some sort of people that are remnant leftovers of the 200 watchers. You have some sort of remnant that is not supposed to be there. They're not supposed to survive. And yet the Hebrews did not do what they were told, but what they were commanded. And so they were allowed to persist, to be thorns in their side, to the extent that even the Philistines that are in Gaza, that's the Palestinians, those are the Philistines. And Amos 1, you have a prophecy that talks about God saying he's going to utterly wipe out even the very last remnants of the Philistines. And that's where Goliath came from. He was a Philistine.
That's right. But why do you think that God targeted them for elimination?
I don't know. I've
wondered that myself too, because clearly David should not have been able to defeat Goliath.
Mano y mano, of course not. But this is the Lord we're talking about. I get excited when we talk about God. All things are done in prophecy for the fulfillment of the glory of God. So, you know, for whatever reason, these various stumbling stones were putting forth in front of, once again, a people who do not listen to God. They're slow learners, and they quickly fall back into a state of rebellion. And so this is actually kind of like a judgment upon them and suffering upon them. You didn't obey. So part of your judgment is now that these people that you were supposed to completely and utterly wipe out, now they're going to be thorns among your sides. So, you know, their idol worship is also going to be part of what they had to deal with. So it's very interesting, Dave.
See, I wonder what you're describing there, if it wasn't a matter of cleansing the bad DNA from these various tribes.
I mean, sure, why not? You know, obviously, it was obviously things have been done the way they are. God being the great designer, he designed all this, and you know, even the things of the past to happen to benefit us in the future, eventually one way or another, with the Messiah coming. So, you know, it's I think you have the bloodlines of these top wealthy elite families who have maybe the genetic capability of tracing themselves all the way back to a lineage of beings who were supposed to have been wiped out, who they themselves may claim an element of divinity, an element of being part of a divine council that were supposed to have been wiped out, but weren't. And, you know, maybe that's why they're the, you know, the apple of the evil one's eye, because there's a bloodline there.
And that's original secret society, you think?
Maybe so.
Mm-hmm. I've wondered that too. I've wondered what's the origin of secret societies.
Well, these are the same people that we're talking about who taught the children of Israel how to pass their own children into the flaming hands of Baal and Moloch. Yeah. You know, these were the same people who worshiped these foreign gods that tainted the people of Israel, and brought the people of Israel low many times. So, and you know, we still see those same false gods, little g gods, being worshiped today and in various forms, especially with abortion. Hey, don't forget what the Republicans are doing out in the Bohemian Grove. They're worshiping Moloch. So, you know, obviously there's elements of this that have survived. And if even if you go into that darker conspiracy, let's go into that conspiracy. Supposedly, every president that we've ever had is related, even to including Barack Obama, even to including Donald Trump and Biden. Supposedly, somewhere down the line, they all have some sort of a blood relation. I don't know what that would mean or if that's necessary, but so does that bloodline thing is very important to the ruling members of Europe, you know, the Queen of England and all of her ilk. So like Prince Charles, remember when Prince Charles was like, I come from Vlad the Impaler, and when I die, I hope I become a virus and I wipe everyone out. Whatever, weirdo. You know, that bloodline thing, it's important to them. And regardless if we don't think it's important to the ruling elite. All right. So that should make us all be a little bit more aware of why is it so important. Relating this to maybe even an alien question, could it be that when we have our saviors from Zeta Reticuli come, are they going to have a DNA test, a 23andMe done on them, and say, oh, look, King Charles is related all the way back to Nebuchadnezzar and so on and so forth. You know, I don't know. I would not be shocked at the state of delusion that we're in right now, where a 6'4", 260-pound man could walk into a convenience store and you know, expect to be called ma'am. I would not even slightly put it past the aliens to say, let's do a DNA test to see if we're related. And if so, because originally we were talking about aliens on the pre-air discussion. I know you and Vance Davis are going to have this conversation. You and I think have had this conversation, maybe not in full context, but I think somewhere along the line, especially when we talk about Genesis 6, and I try not to muddy those waters too much because that's not really my forte. I'm more of calling men to repentance than talking about Genesis 6, but we can go down this avenue. I think, pure speculation on Doug's part, I think somewhere down the line that there is a unique race of beings, here we go, that were whisked away off of this planet, that they were a protected species that are to be used in a later date and reinserted back into modernity as an element of that bloodline. And by that, I don't know if we're talking about the Greys, I don't know if we're talking about the insectoids, insectolins, whatever the heck you call them nowadays, but the things that keep trying to abduct people and the things that supposedly our government has had talks with, and I do air quotes, supposedly, I would not put it past Satan and all of his planning to say, hey, you random angel guy over here, your kid, you know, the one with the big bulbous head, gray skin, you know, big round eyes, doesn't talk with his mouth, but we can all hear him in our head. Take that one. He's the only one like that, and take him out of here. For all the rest of you, your monstrous children are all about to die in a flood, but don't worry, they're going to come back. But that one is very unique. The gray aliens, very, very unique for whatever reason it is. And if anyone out there, biologists by all means, could tell me why something that claims to be from Zeta Reticuli, that's a couple light years away, right? It shows up here on our Earth with two ears where our ears are supposed to be, two eyes where our eyes are supposed to be, a mouth where our mouth is supposed to be, a head that's sitting on top of a neck, sitting on top of shoulders. It's got a torso. It's got arms and legs and fingers and toes, and it walks on two legs. That's a very human trait. The only other thing close to that are primates. Now, primates and humans or a very small amount of species on Earth, if you look at this from the animal zoology concept, and there is like 1,000 times more bugs, insects, and fish, aquatic life, than there are terrestrial bipedal walking animals. So why, if it, and you're a stats guy, why would it be then that something from so far away happens to show up on our doorsteps, looks kind of like us, can talk like us, walks like us, and they don't look like some six-legged gobbledygook? You know, why doesn't it look like it? Why don't aliens look like octopus? Why don't they look like some sort of big cockroach? Why don't they look like some sort of insect or a big fish if statistics would prove those are the most frequent species on Earth? Why do they look like us? And I think
it's all in God's creation. But you have to remember, God created the fallen angels.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I don't, you know, my belief system comes to the fact that I think this is the great deception. I don't think there are aliens in the sense that's portrayed in the movies.
No,
I think it's a deception from Satan. And I think that this is a way to gain control. I mean, let me play this out to the phone. Okay, let's go to Project Bluebeam for a second. And the Bible warns about this. Let me see if I have this scripture handy here. Let me scroll down here. In Ephesians 6, 10 through 12, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against blood, but against principalities of darkness, against the rulers of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And I think that right on cue with this, it says the great deception. Let me get into this and we can comment on this. This is a combination of Matthew 24:5, 24:11, 24:23-27, all from the book of Matthew. It says, "Christ's concern lest his followers be deceived was voiced again and again. He declared, 'For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many, and many false prophets shall arise.'" And it just goes on, and people know the end of this, and it says, "Believe them not, and that even the elect," meaning saved Christians, "can be deceived." And Project Bluebeam is a number of aspects, including alien intimidate, alien likeness. In other words, the belief that these are aliens coming here. But I think they're going to put a spiritual component in it. We have the technology to simulate Christ return. Don't believe it. I said this today on a live stream. I said, if you have to wonder if that's Christ, then it's not Christ. Because when he comes back for the second time, the majesty of everything that he is and what he'll do will be overwhelming. There will be no question as to who he is. And if you have to wonder, but I do believe the Great Deception will use the ET phenomena that's constructed for this purpose, the deception. I do believe they'll imitate the return of Jesus. I think this will play into the Antichrist hands. And I actually think this is the way that we're going to go. And when I read these verses here, I'm more hardened in my beliefs. I think we're for a great deception. I'll even go a step further. Roswell, I think, was a real event. I think some of the crashes we've had that have been testified before Congress from Intel figures in the last 6 weeks to 3 months, I think those are real events. But I think they're part of the deception. I think it's fallen angels simulating alien beings for technology transfer and to get their grips into world leaders. And I mean, I think it's an open avenue to gain control over a nation, its weapon systems, its economy. I mean, Doug, this is how I'm beginning to see this. And my views are evolutionary now. I'm developing them and I'm trying to stay consistent with what the scripture says. Otherwise, I'll throw out the view. But I don't see anything here that refutes what I believe to be true.
So, you know, we all try to make this make sense in our own way.
That's right.
As long as we remember to stay Christ-centered and not to get, like, fully off into the Christian science fictionism, this conversation is relatively benign. But there are some people who woefully abuse the crap out of this conversation, and really they have very little things to base it off of, a lot of their works and their understandings. But and like I said, man, like, I try to make this make sense in my own mind. Why is it that such an advanced species from Zeta Reticuli come here to Earth and then they crash their ships? Well, this is how I make it make sense. And also with the abduction thing. Okay, let's go back to what I originally said. And I'm not trying to make anyone believe what I'm saying either. This is just how I'm trying to make it make sense in my own head.
Okay,
so if Satan told whichever angel, take your little gray alien children and whisk them away, well, however many there were, if they weren't a breeding pair, you eventually have to insert new bloodline, new genetics, okay? Because you got to keep that species alive, correct? Even with, you know, amounts of inbreeding, eventually you're going to have all types of deformations, and you may even lose that innate trait that you wanted so much. I think it's that really is the telepathy. And here's why I say that. I believe somewhere along the line, someone is going to try to make the correlation that aliens have telepathy, and that's the same thing as the Holy Ghost talking to you or the Holy Spirit talking to you. And the gray aliens will say, oh, no, look, we can do it back and forth to each other. See, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's us. Because this is all about deception. Don't forget that. Demonic and purview, because this is all anti-Christ. The aliens didn't create Christ. The aliens aren't going to come back and baptize you, and that's how you get to heaven. So in that light, they are anti-Christ, which is absolutely used by the devil. But I think of it like this. If the angels created a ship, okay, They went out to wherever in space.
Are you talking the fallen angels?
Yeah, the fallen angels. They created a ship to put their little prodigy in. Okay, then that's a nuts and bolts craft. It's floating around in space. They got to get Earth women up there. They got to mate them so they can prolong the species. They can keep it up. That's how the giants died off, right? So
abductions and impregnation. That's what you're talking about.
That's all. That's almost. Did you know that?
Hold on. I'm getting a little feedback from your side, from my voice.
Nope, I'm good on my end. Most of the, from what I've read so far, most of the abduction scenarios involve women. Most. Not so much men, but mainly women. I don't want to say the disparaging factor is like 60-40, but it may be around that. So if we're trying to keep this little race of gray alien being looking things alive, we're injecting women's DNA for the womb, right? And they're trying to keep the species growing. And they have craft that if they did not create or they don't know how to keep it up and running, and they're also flesh and blood creatures, well, then, of course, they're fallible. You know, they're fallible. So even as Goliath fell dead because of a stone hurled by God's prophet, these things could probably just as likely crash their freaking spacecraft because it had mechanical issues. One of them had a physiological issue. They are in some sort of way flesh and blood. So that's where I look at the whole alien phenomena stuff is that,
I don't buy that crash would be accidental. I don't know if you're saying that or not, and I'll tell you why. If they have the technology to traverse the vast distances of space, they're not going to be crashing with the frequency they have on the planet Earth.
Right.
You almost get the feeling that they're crashing more than our airliners would with less technology.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense unless this craft is so old that it's starting to fail.
I don't see that. Satan's technology is impressive. And he's been here to deceive since day one. If you go to the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve, who got him to sin? Who talked him into it?
It was Satan.
He was there. And he's been here for a long time.
But he's not the one flying the ships.
No, the fallen angels are, in my estimation. And I could be wrong. Maybe there really are eight there. But I got to tell you, the Bible's really clear about the great deception. And with all, Congress and the media have done a 180 on this subject. If you even dared to mention this before, okay, there was a Phoenix City Councilwoman named Frances Barwood that brought up the subject, the Phoenix Lights, at a city council meeting. And she had the governor dressing up in an alien suit, making fun of her. They had other people in the meeting making fun of her. And all she did was, my constituents would like to know what this is. Does anybody have any idea? And for that, she got vilified. And yep, that's the way this was handled up until about 2015, 2016 with the incident and Commander Farver. And you look at this and all of a sudden we had a switch in our priorities. Oh, yes, we have crashed alien craft. We've recovered non-human entities from this is congressional testimony.
Well, also
I went and rewatched some of this today.
Also, Doug, the flip is that originally they weren't combative and they weren't a threat, and now they're combative and they're a threat.
And now they are. I totally agree.
That means somewhere in there the agenda has flopped, or the agenda has now finally been given a green light. Let's say that.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Did you know that on Black Friday, the Republican leadership took an axe to the UFO transparency legislation?
No, tell me about that.
All right, let me read it for you. All right, so you can find this on liberationtimes.com. Multiple sources have told Liberation Times that the Schumer Rounds Unidentified Anomalous Phenomena Disclosure Act is under severe threat from Republican leaders within the U.S. House and Senate. Liberation Times has learned that this week, two influential Republicans, namely Representative Mike Rogers, who's the chair of the House Armed Services Committee, and Representative Mike Turner, who's the chair of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, have escalated their efforts to eliminate the UAP Disclosure Act from the NDA for fiscal year 2024. The two representatives successfully garnered support from Senator Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and the new Speaker of the House, Representative Mike Johnson, who are now backing their endeavors to either remove or significantly weaken the UAP Disclosure Act. Very interesting timing.
I'm going to make another link here. I want to see what you think of this. I'm just speculating, okay? So I'd like your reaction to this. That information was supposed to have been fully disclosed by 2017 by law.
Yep.
All files had to be released. And also this coincides with another set of files that was supposed to be released on the Kennedy assassination. And one of the things that Jim Mars and I both believe from our looking into this, Kennedy became interested in UFOs. And he brought this up in private circles. General LeMay even referred to it a couple of times. And Kennedy was supposedly going to go through and do some revealing about what's going on and call for investigations. And maybe he wasn't just killed because of anti-Federal Reserve, anti-Vietnam attitudes. I'm sure that was part of it. Open air testing with nuclear weapons, the end of the Cold War, all the things he wanted to do that pissed off the deep state. Yeah, but I think this alien thing might have had something to do with this. And Donald Trump, who said this? I can't remember who Donald Trump called. Oh, Judge Napolitano. Judge Napolitano on his podcast this last week, he said that Donald Trump once called him 2 weeks before the end of his term. And he said, Napolitano asked him, are you going to reveal all the Kennedy files? And he goes, if you had been told what I've been told, you wouldn't even think about it, but I'm not going to reveal it here over the phone. It'll have to be an in-person discussion, but I can't, and no other president can either. Doug, I'm almost thinking that these two issues are related. The Kennedy files and the UFO files that are being blocked, and the fact that presidents won't release. You've got Trump that wouldn't release them, and you got Biden that won't release the Kennedy files. And now we're seeing a move to obfuscate the UFO files. I think there's a relationship.
So November 12th, 1963, a top secret document was wrote referencing JFK. It's since been redacted. I'm reading it right now. It says memorandum for the director of blank Central Intelligence Agency. Subject is classification review of all UFO intelligence files affecting national security.
Mm-hmm.
I had a discussion with you previously. This is JFK saying this. I had a discussion with you previously. I have initiated redacted. And I have instructed James Webb to develop a program with the Soviet Union in joint space and lunar exploration. It would be very helpful if you would have the high threat cases reviewed with the purpose of identification of bona fides opposed to classified CIA United States Air Force sources. It is important that we make a clear distinction between the knowns and unknowns in the event the Soviets try to mistake our extended cooperation as a cover for intelligence gathering of their defense and space programs. When this data has been sorted out, I would like you to arrange a program of data sharing with NASA where unknowns are a factor. This will help NASA mission directors in their defensive responsibilities. I would like an interim report on the data review no later than February 1st of 1964.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, signed, I'm familiar with that, yes.
Signed, John F. Kennedy.
Well, given the majestic rumors and Roswell and stuff Kennedy surely would have become aware of as president, this does not surprise me in the least. But I'll go one step further with you that I've found out. This part, the first part I'll tell you, has actually been verified. Jim Mars and I talked about this. Many other people know this happened. Kennedy gave a speech in May of 63 at American University. A lot of people said he signed his death warrant at that time. And he said that we need a world that's not based on nuclear testing. He opposes all upper atmospheric testing, because every time you blow up a nuclear bomb, you got to replace it. And that's what the military industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us about would want to do. But he didn't want to go down the path towards nuclear war. He wanted to end the Cold War. And after the Cuban Missile Crisis, Norman cut as a go-between between JFK and Nikita Khrushchev. And Norman Cousins used to fly into an East European country and then take a train to Khrushchev's vacation hideaway. And they would meet. They met several times. One of their points of discussion that Jim Mars discovered was the fact that Norman Cousins was also talking about how to deal with what they perceived to be the alien threat. It wasn't just nuclear weapons discussions. And there's also a lot of justification for this, too. There was a French reporter, name jumps out of my head. I actually had a guest on my show documented this, and now it's actually come out, that a French reporter was representing John Kennedy, meeting with Fidel Castro, and they were meeting at the exact time Kennedy was killed. And the subject was, hey, America and Russia are headed in this direction. We want you to join them. Kennedy one day wants to normalize relationships with you. And they did discuss UFOs. There's a lot there, Doug.
There's a lot that happened during JFK that very few people are aware of. You know, speaking about nuclear weapons, that's like the premier highlight of everything, was the nuclear weapon program. And not only that, but how you had the atomic bomb went to the nuclear bomb, and then it got made into the tactical nuke, and then the suitcase nuke, like the Davy Crockett weapon that, you know, what is it? Didn't they put it in a suitcase, and from like LAX to Washington D.C. they flew on domestic flights with it.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, in Vietnam, on the Ho Chi Minh Trail, the Jasons Group, anybody who doesn't know what the Jasons Group is, the group of scientists, you need to reference the Jasons Group quite a bit in your research. They had said that one of the ways to stop the Ho Chi Minh Trail, because they estimated about 200 tons of armament, weapons and ammunition, pass through the Ho Chi Minh Trail a week from North to South Viet Cong, and found their way into the NBA. But they said it would be almost 3,000 tactical nuclear weapons were required to take out the Ho Chi Minh Trail. It was a serious consideration.
Yeah, but they opted for the Pentagon. Orange.
But they opted for the deforestation. But JFK was involved in a lot of things that, yeah, this is, and I'm not trying to make this JFK heavy, but when JFK was president, the CIA, the DIA, the NSA, DOD, these guys were in the heights of their power. This is when they were really coming to power. This is when all your different projects were going on. And, you know, this is also the height of occultism rising in America. You had the hippie movement rising in America, which is a pro-communist movement. So, you know, there's a lot of things that ride off of that. And I always kind of look back and I ask, Are we going to have another JFK-like event with another president? And it will it look like JFK's time? When I say that, I say like this. A lot of revolutions were going on in America. Expansion of technology. We were in a Cold War. And we were, you know, investigating UFOs. We had all this, the psycho weapons that were being used, remote viewing. Would we have a repeat of that? And I'll be damned if we're not having a repeat of that as well, with the possibility of a JFK-like event coming too. So that's kind of interesting.
Well, great minds think alike, Doug. Hang on, I'm going to pull up something that I published today at the time of this recording. And give me just a second here to fully get to this. Wasn't counting on this coming up. And I'll be here. I'm on the page now. Let's see. You know, I've launched this show. We've done 7 episodes now. And episode 6 of Hiding in Plain Sight, the name of my new show. And the title was "The Parallels Between Trump and JFK Are Remarkable. Trump is in Grave Danger." And I didn't touch on the aspect you brought up, but I was planning to, because this is going to be a topic I repeat, because there's a lot of reasons that they want to assassinate Trump. So what you're saying here is exactly what I'm going down the path of revealing to my audience.
Yeah, it's there's always a correlation here. There's nothing new under the sun, right? So I think with this new age movement that we have going on, this really weird movement within Christianity right now. It's not Christianity. Let's go ahead and back that up. It is a blasphemous pollution of the church, where they're mixing in transgenderism and all different forms of ungodliness. Lord rebuke them. But also you have that one aspect, that new caveat, which has been around for a while, where you have this alien religion. You have the ancient aliens people who are saying when they come back, and it's always when they come back, as if they left and they're coming back. When the aliens finally arrive, they're going to look more like us than we think. And we're going to find out that actually they are the gods. They created us. They're our star fathers. We're their star children, and yada, yada, yada. There's your deception, right?
I think there's another deception, too. You probably remember when I told you this story. It was St. Patrick's Day, and I think it was 1984, and I never went on blind dates. And I allowed my friend to be talked into going on a blind date, meeting this lady in a restaurant bar. And a really attractive person, well-spoken, intelligent. I thought this might be my lucky day. I seemed to have met someone impressive. But then she said, "We haven't got to talk about what I do." And I said, "Well, I thought you were a teacher." And she goes, "I am, but not the kind of teacher that you would think of as a teacher." And she said, "I teach alien hybrid children how to integrate." And I said, "What do you mean?" And this was unknown to me, Doug, at this time. I didn't have the knowledge of these events that I do now. And she said, "Well, when women are abducted, they're impregnated, and they're re-abducted, and they have the fetus taken from them." And she said, "And they have to be humanized, and they're humanized by people like me." Whoa, I couldn't get out of there fast enough. Okay, I thought this was pure insanity. You remember me telling you the story?
Yep.
And I do think there's another element to this. On the Earth side, I think that, I hate to say it this way because it sounds so bizarre, so science fiction, but I think they walk among us. What do you think? Because of the hybrid situation.
At this rate, I'm not surprised by anything. That's the way that I can go to bed at night and not freak out over some of this information.
Exactly.
I just accept that the deception is to always take the eyes off of the cross.
That's right.
That is the deception. I don't care who comes out and says anything. If it takes the eyes off of the cross, it's a deception. It's the deception, right? The Antichrist will take the eyes off the cross for the entire world. They'll think that he is the Messiah.
I agree with you, but I want you to consider this. Imagine, this is speculative, but imagine if this were a program worldwide. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. So the hybridization of the human race, and these people are groomed into leadership positions through things like the Ford Group, you know, these various secret organizations, these MK Ultra type organizations, and they're trained, they're modeled, and they get into positions of leadership. Would this not help to explain world leaders have turned their back on Christ, why America is being a Christian nation based on leadership examples that we're seeing? We haven't had a Christian president for a while.
No, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm going to be as sarcastic as possible when I say this. Currently, grown adults don't know what gender they are, don't know what bathroom to use, and you have 50, 60-year-old men who are playing dress-up as 6-year-old girls. They're going to believe aliens are the real thing.
Exactly. And by the way, did you see where the Border Patrol is now made to use gender neutral terms? They can't say him and hers and she and he. And I don't know if you saw that. That made the news today.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad I quit.
Yeah, DHS so and Border Patrol. And the Border Patrol says that this is being done in deference to the fact that they might potentially be dealing with LGBTQ. So we can't use these terms. You know, I'm so ingrained in saying him and her and he and she. I don't think I could retrain myself. It'd be like learning a new language. It's insanity.
I'm just not going to do it. Until, you know, I find that it is beneficial for me, maybe Dave, look, you know what? How about this? Take a weekend, go to Vegas. I'll try out for the next women's UFC fight. And we all know how that one's probably going to go, and just, you know, bet the house on me. Maybe then this will be an applicable situation with pronouns. Until then, this is absolute madness. This is charlatan. This is madness.
If you could avoid the head kick, you would destroy any female MMA fighter.
Oh, I've already been there, done that.
I know.
I may not be as fast as I once was, but I'm pretty sure I could hold my own. But then again, I don't know how many 300-pound women are fighting in the UFC, so that might be interesting. You know what's going to happen is I'm going to go in there, and then Brock Lesnar is going to say, I identify as a woman as well, and then we're just going to have at it.
That's interesting.
In all seriousness, I go back to Matthew 24. Jesus said, be ye not deceived.
Right.
Be not deceived about your stupid pronouns, about what the aliens are or what they aren't. Be not deceived about so much, church. Don't be deceived. Don't buy this BS. Don't believe them. You know what bathroom to use, church. Be ye not deceived. You know who's pulling the strings currently with the bloodbath going on around the world. Don't be deceived. But don't be alarmed either. That's the other part, is when something comes out of the sky, either it is there because it's a physical nuts and bolts craft, or it's there because it's a hologram. I don't care what it is. It's going to scare people. Don't be deceived and don't be alarmed. You know, Fort Detrick, Maryland, the chemical war guys. Back in the 50s and 60s, they were creating things that were called psychoweapons. And these were weapons, you and I have done multiple shows on this. These are weapons that were used to be able to bend the psychology of man. And one of these weapons was the ability to drop this sort of gas either into a city, or one of the programs said that they would release the gas into the sewage system. And it would come up from underneath the sewage system, and it would turn an entire city of a million people into a hallucinogenic panic. Now, insert gigantic mile-wide craft, real or not, doesn't matter, and then deploy your chemical hallucinogens.
Mm-hmm.
The effect is the same.
Yeah, and also have open-air drug markets that'll aid in that too. So, yep. Doug, we're flat out of time, but I think what we've done is we're going to get people to go into the Bible, I hope, and reveal for themselves where they need to focus. Christ-centered is where you need to be, but I'm concerned that people are going to get fooled in the end days.
Yeah.
And I think we've done a good job with that, but we've got 30 seconds, so go ahead and give us a summary in 30 seconds.
Anyone who's interested in what we went over earlier, Judges, the book of Judges, chapter 1, chapter 2. Pray to the Lord. Seek his face. Seek the Lord on this and see what revelation he gives you. I think no one has their finger on the pulse, but the deception is real. Satan's the father of lies. And keep your eyes on the cross. So,
bingo. Last phrase is exactly right on. Interesting discussion. I hope you all in the audience found this to be productive and will allow you to self-reflect so you can come to good spiritual awareness, whether you agree with this or not. Our job here today was to stimulate thinking about the Lord. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Doug, thank you. And this is the Intel Report signing off. God bless.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, you will own nothing and you will love it. And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall. And nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have. Access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history, we're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.